one day, you're going to die. Now, I don't like to be so blunt, but it's true. But a majority of investors make decisions about their finances as if it's not a reality. And if you die without a will, you're basically leaving your family with the responsibility of picking up all the pieces of glass we call life as it shatters into 1,000 pieces. On this episode, we are going to answer the question, what happens to my family when I die without a will? How can I make sure that my prayers and wishes don't die with me? And at what age should you create a will? All this and more on this episode of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things. I am A.B. Ridgeway and the host of Financial Advisors Say the Darndest Things of my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today we're going to talk about the D word. Yes, death. It is one of the hardest topics to talk about in the financial world. But if you can overcome your fear of discussing it, you can lower the probability of increasing the risk of someone else dying from fighting over your money when you pass. See, I remember a situation where a man was in the hospital after suffering a heart attack. The doctor said that with all of his other complications, that it was necessary to put him in a medically induced coma. At this point, all of his family members were called to say their last goodbyes. This man had divorced his second wife, but still had a child from his first marriage that was present. As the family mourned and cried over the potential of losing their loved one, the ex-wife was in the doctor's ear telling him to pull the plug, that she didn't want to see him suffer, and this is what he would have wanted. The daughter overheard and was distraught and angry, and wanted the father to get any medical treatment necessary to bring him back. How horrible of an experience is this? At a moment when everyone should be mourning, this man is on his deathbed, and the police have to be called to break up a fight. So what could have this man done before he was put into the hospital? Two words: medical proxy. So you may be asking, what's a medical proxy, and how could it help this situation where two people are actually fighting? Well, a medical proxy is a document with which a patient appoints an agent to legally make healthcare decisions on behalf of the patient. Now, how much would this cost? $5,000? $10,000? No. Typically around $20, and in most cases free and included in most estate planning documentations. You may even luck out and get a free template somewhere and get it notarized. Now, notary fees may be another $10 to $15 per signature, but that's a whole nother conversation. We're talking about the document itself. So now these two have a criminal record. The man is still not receiving the medical attention he needs or he may have wanted, and it could have been handled with only $20, less than a value meal at McDonald's in some states, but I digress. And this is just a medical proxy, but there are other documentations that could prevent future issues and disputes. But when was the last time that you heard about a medical proxy at Thanksgiving or Christmas? Probably never. When you have family get-togethers, you probably talk about local events, local news, maybe a local sporting event, but never about your finances or documentations that you are taking the steps to finalize to make sure that your finances are in order and your family is informed. So why did I bring this up, and what does this all have to do with a will? Well, it's because this man died without a will, which means he died intestate. So now, without him knowing, he has relinquished all of the decision-making to the state in which he resides. I tell clients that if you don't have documentation on how your money is distributed, the government has paperwork and you will have to go to probate court and get it. And in those cases, nobody wins. The typical order of responsibility goes from spouse to the child, then parents or siblings. I'll say that again. The typical order of responsibility goes from the spouse to the children. If they're not available, then to the parents or to the siblings. And when one or more people hold a title, they may appoint co-executors for the estate. So for example, you're not married, you don't have any children, your parents are deceased, but you have multiple siblings, they may become what they call co-executors. Okay? But in the meantime, The assets themselves are frozen, and this process can be time consuming. So not only do you have to wait to figure out who's in charge, by the time they are appointed, they have to learn how to settle an account on the spot, with siblings and children sending angry texts and phone calls about when they're going to get paid and how much. This can be overwhelming. You can see the evil in some of your family when money is involved and there's a lot of ambiguity. How horrible when everyone should be mourning. What makes it worse is that creditors have almost first priority, and without knowing their finances, you may end up with zero. Debt is an issue, and a lot of people don't like to talk about debt. They like to talk about how much money they have, but they don't like to talk about the debt they have. Well, I'm a millionaire. I have $1 million in a savings account. Yeah, but you're $1.5 million in debt, so do you really have any money? So I'll give you another example. The client may have $250,000, but once again, if they owe $200,000, they may be in for a rude awakening when they're expecting $50,000 apiece. They're like, okay, we have five people, they have $250,000, then I should get $50,000. And then when they only get $10,000, they're infuriated. So what do? Well, I should be getting $50,000 and you ripped us off and you stole mama's money and she showed me the bank statements with all the money. How am I only getting $10,000, right? Some would even go to court. They'll hire a lawyer. They'll pay the retainer of thousands of dollars just to find out there is no money. So instead of gaining $10,000 at a minimum, they lose it and they're in debt and they're in a worse situation than when they started. So once again, not having a will or dying without a will could potentially break up families. I've seen some ugly things happen when death and money come together. But all of this can be avoided with creating a will and the proper paperwork. See, I knew a man who had run into some trouble when he was younger. His mother was older and preparing to transition to heaven as well. She had a family meeting and let everyone know that when she passed, everyone would be taken care of. How beautiful. And it came to everyone's attention that she had a large sum of money. Now, out of this greed, the siblings started to persecute the man. They called the police on him. They made reports of threats. They had restraining orders put on him. But why would they do this, trying to get money from the mother? Well, because when you don't have a will, the assets need to go through probate court. And if you don't have an executor of your estate, the judge will appoint one. And who do you think he's going to appoint when the time comes? Do you think he's going to appoint someone with a current criminal record? No. So now the executor is in control of the estate. They're responsible for the distribution of those assets. It is a sad reality that many people have been eliminated from the assets that the decedent, well, the one who passed away, wanted to give them. Because what? They didn't have a will. So let's answer the big elephant in the room. When should you get a will? When's a great time to get one? At retirement? Before death? Well, for me, as soon as possible. I'm pretty playful with my clients, and there's something that I say, listen, if you know what day you'll die, we can finalize your will 1 month before, right? And most of them chuckle, say, okay, we don't know when we're going to die, so yes, we need to get this done as soon as possible. I'm pretty playful with my clients, and when they try to procrastinate, like, I'll do it later, I always ask them, I was like, well, if you know what day you're going to die, just let me know, and then we can finalize the will 1 month before. And they kind of chuckle, but in all seriousness, it's true. You know, they don't know when they're going to pass away, and we need to make sure that the money that they're going to distribute, the money that they worked really hard to earn, is going to the right places while they're in their clear mind. Also, it gives them a chance to see where all their money is. You'll be surprised how many accounts you may have from a former bank, an old job, or even a retirement account that you created years and years ago. Brothers and sisters, the point of this episode is to let you know that with the proper paperwork, we can avoid some of the conflicts that occur when we pass away. No one who has passed away has come back and says, you know what, I should have had that will because I saw my family and friends fighting. It's only those who are surviving that get to see this reality. And what happens is sometimes this isn't the first time people have seen these type of behaviors. usually we get someone who says, listen, my brothers and sisters, they fought over the money. I don't want that to happen. What can we do? They don't know the terms necessary, the paperwork that they need in order to get this accomplished. But just to let you know, it's a will. It's an estate plan. It's being able to write down where everything is. One of the things I like to discuss with my clients is dying with zero. Dying with zero doesn't mean you don't have any money. Dying with zero means that every dollar that is in your possession or under your control is delegated to the person who is going to take over when you pass. Because we're all renting this stuff. You're either going to lose your possessions by choice or by death. So when you die, it's going to someone else, or you can choose to delegate to someone else when the time comes. Now, if you don't have a will, I want you to take these three steps. First, I want you to create a financial plan. What the financial plan is going to do is find out where every dollar of your money is. If it's in an old retirement account, if it's coming from Social Security, if you have a home, if you have cars, boats, jewelry, whatever it is, you're going to create your financial plan and say, this is where all my money is, and this is where I want all my money to go, whether it's to a child, whether it's to a charity, whether it's to a church, or a combination of all three. Number two, you're going to talk to the stewards. You're going to make sure that the people that you delegate these assets to are going to be good stewards. Are they going to carry on your legacy? Do they have your same mentality when it comes to spending and using the money for good? And three, you're going to go to an estate attorney to establish your will. You're going to make sure that it is in writing. The old days of a handshake and on your deathbed giving your final words, I want you to have everything. All those days are gone. We don't need to have those type of conversations because they don't hold up. It's a very beautiful scene. You know, one is transitioning into heaven. They're speaking to their child and they're letting them know their love, and they secretly saved $1 million for them and they're going to be okay after suffering so much in this life. But if we don't have paperwork, it can go out the window and someone can destroy the prayers that you prayed so hard to come true. Now, so brothers and sisters, I want you to take the opportunity to organize your finances, get situated so you do not die in what they call intestate. That means dying without a will, so you can have a peace of mind in this lifetime that if God calls you home early, your family will be okay. There won't be any fights and you can finally rest in peace. As a certified private wealth advisor professional, I've seen this many times over and over again, and it is shocking to realize that people find more peace in organizing their finances and knowing that their children will be okay than they do gaining 10 and 15% in the market. There's always one more dollar to make. There's always one more car to buy. There's always one more piece of property to purchase. But to know that all those assets are going to be passed on to your children and not necessarily taxed heavily by the government or controlled by someone you don't want to have, that is a peace of mind you cannot pay for. If you like this episode, make sure that you subscribe, like, and share to your family members and let them know that a will is something they need to do now. If you're an adult child, if you're ready for retirement or recently retired and you don't have a will, you can reach out to us. You can go to AB Ridgeway Wealth Management. And if you want to learn more about financial planning to receive some Christian counsel on money matters, make sure that you check out some of our other episodes. In the meantime, schedule a consultation with us so we can talk you through some of the process if you need a little more information. Well, that is it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.